For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, as always, Shane Told, bringing you into the backstage conversations that I have with other front men and front women of bands of all different types, all different genres, and we got a good one this week. Very excited about it. A long time in the making, Ms. Cassidy Pope of Hey Monday. I almost said formerly of Hey Monday, but they're kind of back. And also of solo work, including being on The Voice and Team Blake and winning that shit and having an amazing last decade of a country music career. So getting to pick her brain was an absolute treat. She is so honest and so well-spoken. This was just an awesome, awesome conversation. I cannot wait for you to hear it. Before we do get into it, a couple orders of business around here. I want to remind you, you can get in touch with me. You can email me. I love suggestions for the show or anything else. leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, we've got that option too. For as little as $6 a month, that gets you bonus content and more, but it also keeps this thing going, keeps the lights on around here, pays for those show expenses, and yeah, it's easy. It's a Patreon. You're probably familiar with that. It's super easy. So head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. That is your all-access pass to the show, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll see you over there for as little as $6. leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. I think that's it. It's almost Christmas, isn't it? It might even be after Christmas by the time you hear this. Crazy. What a year. This year has been absolutely insane. I cannot believe how fast it has gone by. Regardless, here it is, my conversation with Cassidy Pope. I could erase on every, 'cause you didn't give a damn about me. Oh, finally.
be on. Thanks for asking me to join you. This is awesome.
Of course. Yeah, man. I feel like it's a good time. Like, you know, all those years, you know, of Hey Monday and everything, and then your transition, obviously, like, to country music, and we have so much to talk about. But it's like, now it's such a good time because it's like you're back. You know what I mean? You're back to your roots with, you know, with punk and everything. And it's just a perfect timing to talk to you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I mean, it's been cool to be back, and it's obviously had such a resurgence over the last couple of years, but it was just weird, the timing of everything. And I was inching toward this anyway, and then things started happening more on the mainstream side with rock music. So it was just kind of a crazy transition, but it's been awesome.
Yeah, it's been so awesome. So, where are you calling me from right now?
I'm calling you from Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee. So you are still there, you know, very well immersed in the country world, you know, that is synonymous with Nashville. But what I find so interesting is I was just in Nashville last week. We were there on tour, and all my friends, like all my rock music industry friends, all live in Nashville now. We have more people backstage, like on the guest list for our show in Nashville, than we do LA and New York combined. Like, it's really interesting. Do you see it there? I mean, you being so immersed in the country world, but do you see how rock has just kind of started to, I guess, show itself in that community now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember coming here after I did The Voice in 2013 and being like, I did not realize so many people from the rock world are here. You know, my day-to-day manager back in Hey Monday is at Warner Brothers here. He's one of the head A&Rs there. And, you know, Andy Albert, the lead singer of Holiday Parade, is here. He's a huge songwriter now. Yeah. Paul DiGiovanni from Boys Like Girls. Like, all these people were here back then, and I was just so taken aback. And now, fast forward, you know, 10 years later, it's so crazy how many more have come. And I'm one of the people that came here from LA. I was in LA for like 4 years. And after the show, I wanted to do country music, so I came here. But I realized after, you know, over the years, after being here for so long, I've just seen it grow. And I've seen, you know, the Americana Awards are here and everything. Americana is here that whole week. And yes, of course, it's known for country music, but it's so cool to see it grow and just see so many people from the rock community come here. And yeah, like this conference Music Biz was here this year, and it's been a few years that it's been happening, but they have a whole slew of rock events, and I was loving it because it's just like, cool, I don't have to leave here to like do rock music again. I can stay where I am because I do love living here and I love the community here, so that's cool.
Yeah. Wow. It's just crazy. I mean, I don't even know where to jump in. You know, usually with when I, you know, I do these things all the time and I kind of like, okay, I got a game plan. I'm kind of like, all right, we can kind of start here or we can start here. But with you, it's really difficult to know, you know, where to start from. Like, do we kind of work our way backwards? Do we start at the beginning? I mean, the part I kind of want to start from, I guess, is, and then maybe the most interesting thing, and I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, but is, you know, kind of the demise of Hey Monday and then that transition into The Voice, into country music, which you just mentioned was 10 years ago, a decade. And now like revisiting, you know, some of those songs, like doing, you know, your biggest song in the rock, you know, rock format. Now it's so cool that you've kind of just, it's kind of like you just, everything has kind of combined itself. But you're still you, and it's such a beautiful thing because I think we get so pigeonholed as artists and as singers to be like, oh, well, you're a country music singer. You can't do that. Or for me, like, I'm a screamo guy. Like, what do you do? You can't do that. You can't like that. And the reality is, like, musicians usually like a lot of genres or even every genre up to a point, you know? Totally. So... But I want to take it back to that moment, you know, when you realized, okay, Hey Monday is not going to work for whatever reasons, and then I'm going to take this plunge and I'm going to go on The Voice, and that really started, you know, your second career. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it was a tough time because throughout Hey Monday's career, we had member changes, we had record label presidents changing. We, our A&R left, the one that like found us and signed us. And it just, we just were one of those bands that, that, you know, got so many amazing opportunities so fast. And we kind of skipped the whole development phase. So like, we didn't have an amazing foundation. So like when all these things were going wrong, it wasn't like we had been a band for 5 years, even like it was, right. We had just kind of, we got signed and then it was off to the races. So we didn't really have all the tools, and I didn't have the tools, especially at like, I think when I left the band, I was 21. I did not have the tools to know how to navigate all of that. So I left because I just felt like nothing was happening anymore and we weren't getting on tours, and it just scared me. So I left and went solo, and I moved to LA, and I was in LA for probably a year before I did The Voice. And it was awful. I was like broke. No one was helping me. Everyone that, you know, helped Hey Monday or that wrote and recorded Hey Monday, and no one really wanted to work with me because it wasn't Hey Monday, and they just didn't feel like it was going to do anything. And so by the time The Voice scouted me, and my manager at the time was like, hey, they're hitting me up about you. Would you want to do it? I just was desperate. And so I was like, fine. I was always so against doing those shows. And I always felt like they were the easy way out. And I was a band girl, you know, that was my mentality. And then once I did the show, I was like, well, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
I was going to say, when you said, like you can't, obviously there's no video for this. Like you can't see my face, but when you said easy way out, my jaw kind of dropped. Cause I'm like, the hell do you mean easy way out? Like not only I've heard from, you know, a couple other people I've had on the show that have done it, that it's just insane. Like the preparation and then all the TV stuff and all that. But then also like, you know, you are there. It's just you and your voice. Like, there's no loud fucking rock band to, like, you know. You know, like, it's you. Like, you're there and you're singing stuff that you're not maybe super familiar with sometimes, too. And you're on TV. I mean, I can't think of anything more difficult.
Yeah. I think I had a very, very skewed view of it, because I thought it was like, oh, people get on those shows and then they're overnight, they're just a huge success and everything. And that was my problem with it, was like, I didn't want people to forget the years that I put into music. And even before Hey Monday, you know, grinding in Florida where I'm from, in West Palm, and playing all these, you know, smoky bars as a kid, and playing fairs and festivals, and you know, had a record deal. I was in and out of a record deal already at 15, and just, you know, I had a lot of like experience before Hey Monday even. And I just didn't want people to think that I was trying to like cut the line or whatever. And I eventually just realized that that's not my problem, and it's not how it is. And it is, you know, it is different than performing on tour, because you jump around. Like you said, you have a loud band behind you. And another thing that was different was like, no one was singing along with me. They were just staring at me and judging and, you know, okay, how can I critique this performance, rather than, you know, at the shows I had done before that, where people are just jumping up and down and singing along at the top of their lungs. And so it's just a very different experience for sure.
But, you know, your success, obviously, you know, winning the whole damn thing. And I mean, that must have given you a lot of confidence too, because you were probably at such a dark point, you know, for like the year in LA before that, when you said that people kind of were writing you off, you know. That must have felt pretty awesome, you know?
Yeah. It was validating for sure. I mean, I knew that I had a lot of hard work ahead of me once I finished the show, but it was cool, because the show, obviously at the start, it's more about The Voice than anything. But as the show goes on, you do more and more interviews where they ask you about your life and your family and hardships. And I just, the more I opened up and shared with America, the more people seemed to like it and relate to me. And so I was, of course, really proud of, you know, the fact that I won for my voice, but I was even more proud that, like, I just felt like people connected with my story and with me as a person. And that just made me feel even better. Cause it's like, you know, I hope to always sing, but, you know, if not, maybe there's something there that if someday I lose my voice somehow, and there's like, you know, a public speaking thing, or like, I was like, there's so many ways that I can always have a career and not only just rely on my singing. And that made me feel really good. I know it's called The Voice, so I probably shouldn't say that, but I felt like that's totally.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't have the best voice, you know.
Did you say you didn't have the best voice?
I didn't have the best voice of my season. Oh my God. There were people like Trayvon Martin. There was like Ashley Brown. There were people on my season that I still remember. I was like, there's no fucking way I'm beating these people. Like, I don't have a better voice. But, you know, like I said, like eventually it becomes about the whole thing, the whole package, right, and people hearing your story and relating. So
totally.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always think about that, too, because when you think about some of the biggest artists of all time, you know, let's just go with the rock world, because I can name like five country artists probably. But, you know, look at Bono. Is Bono a good singer? You know,
yeah.
Can Anthony Kiedis sing at all? You know, like,
right.
No, they can't, but they got there. Right. And it is so much more to being a singer than singing, which sounds crazy, but it's really true. But also,
sure.
You know, so much of the time, I think as singers mentally, we feel like that's what we're there to do. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure you've performed sick and you've lost your voice and you've had those really scary moments where you're like, oh my God, is it ever coming back? Am I ever going to be the same? And those are some of the most depressing times as a singer you can ever have, because it's like, well, this is like my everything. This is all my entire identity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what I've always tried to have some different things that I do within my career, whether that's doing like a cameo in something, if that ever was an opportunity, like a cameo of myself on a show, or you know, getting into fashion and going to fashion shows during fashion week, or whatever I can do to kind of like expand beyond singing, because I feel like that I love everything about, you know, the surrounding things around being an artist too. So it's not that I am doing it because I feel like I need to make sure that I cover my ass down the road, but I do feel like, you know, that's kind of like you're building a brand in a way. I hate saying that, but sometimes it's like these opportunities come up and you can say no because, you know, you're just a singer and that's all you're here to do. But like, sometimes it's fun to venture out and be the artist in the room that's like at a fashion show or whatever. It's just like fun to have different avenues that you can explore. And those opportunities usually end up helping your music in some way. Someone needs an artist to perform at their event or whatever it is. Like, I just feel like it all feeds each other. So I definitely take the route of, yes, I'm a singer. I love to perform. I love touring, but I do like all the surrounding things, and I am dabbling in acting and all that. So it's just like stuff that kind of makes it all feel whole, you know?
Totally. So the choice to, you know, be on The Voice and kind of go the country route with Blake Shelton and everything, how much of that was kind of like a fuck you to the people that said, hey, they're just another Paramore, or like, that's all they are, you know? Or like, or the fact that, you know, in your mind, you probably looked at Hey Monday as like a failure in the pop punk world. Clearly it wasn't. But like in your 21-year-old mind, you know, how much of it was that versus, hey, I really like country music and I want to do that, you know, like, and you can be honest or not, you know,
I've always wondered. That's a great question. I don't think anyone's ever really asked me that. It's always like, why did go country? And it's never been so like pointed, but I think it was both. Like at the time, I had sang country music as a kid, so I'll start there. That was like the first genre I learned how to sing on was like Martina McBride and Faith Hill, and then did the rock thing, loved that. And then when I did The Voice, I picked Blake as my coach because I liked the way that he coached. I watched the two seasons prior and I felt like he didn't make anyone do anything they were uncomfortable with.
Right.
He didn't like, he just let everybody do their thing. And that was, it wasn't the country thing. I was like, I just liked him as a coach. And the show, I put down a few covers that I sang as a kid just because I'm comfortable with them. I was like, I know the words. I'm not going to stumble on live TV. And they ended up picking a few. And I didn't think anything of it. I just thought they were good voicey songs. But then it was like the country fan base and the country community started to really latch on and support me. And when the show ended, some cool things were happening in Nashville and in country music at the time. I remember Taylor was going pop.
Right.
And Florida Georgia Line had their like rock thing that they were kind of doing, the bro country thing. But at the time I was like, oh, this sounds like Nickelback, like a country Nickelback. And then the band Perry had a song called If I Die Young that was crossing over into pop. And I was just like, it feels like country music is having like a mainstream moment. And I've always been a pop kid. Like even, you know, with the Martina and Faith Hill stuff I sang as a kid, it was pop country. And even with Hey Monday, it was pop punk. And mm-hmm. I just love pop elements. So I was like, and then in pop music at the time, it was stuff that I couldn't really see myself doing. Like Gangnam Style was number one on iTunes. And, you know, like all these like dancey pop things were popping off that were not really for me. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do the Nashville thing. The idea of going back to doing rock was just, I felt like a bit embarrassed about the Hey Monday thing not working out. I felt like, oh, you know, if it didn't work with them, what makes me think it's going to work with me? Maybe I'm not weird enough or not, you know, enough of a recluse. Like maybe I'm just not like the rock kid that people want. And yeah, I did let it kind of, I guess, inform my decision to do country music. It definitely, I still loved rock music. I never stopped listening to it, but at the same time, it felt like it was time for a fresh start. Yeah. And something new and exciting. And it made me, you know, people wanted me in Nashville. Like it wasn't, you know, Scott Borchetta at Big Machine, who still had Taylor at the time, was wanting me to come here. And I didn't quite have that from the rock community at the time. So I just was like, all right, I'm going to go where it feels right and where I like what's happening totally. Within the genre.
Yeah,
you know?
It makes complete sense, especially the industry stuff you bring up, right? And if that industry mm-hmm. stuff is so fresh in your head and you felt like you kind of got a little bit just kind of dropped, you know, right yeah. after there, then why would you go back to that? So, and you, yeah. got the, pipes for it. And I mean, hey, the track record speaks for itself, you know, with the Grammy nomination and platinum selling, you know, certified stuff. That's all awesome. So yeah, you know, it's been a really, really great ride.
Yeah. And you know, I do look back on all of it and I'm really proud of it. And I've had so many times in the 10 years that I've been here where I've been the one that people pay attention to. And then I've not been the one people pay attention to, because it is very much like a one woman at a time kind of genre. And sometimes I feel that with rock too, but I've seen it so much in my career just being in Nashville that I'm kind of at a point, or I got to the point where I was like, I think I'm just going to not think about that anymore. And move ahead, because I'm never going to be the new kid in town or like the new shiny thing anymore. I've been doing it for too long. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I need to change my frame of mind and just, and be proud of the accomplishments and be grateful for the experience. And I guess the wisdom that comes with all that.
100%. Well, it's great to have you back in the scene. Hey Monday, playing when we were young. That is super, super yeah. exciting. And I was a little unexpected to see that. It was really, really cool to see. So you're yeah. obviously back, you know, hanging out, talking to your old bandmates. I guess yeah. you've got like a year to learn the record or something. So relearn the record. So that's good. A little bit of time. It's not like it's in a month or anything.
We got on a text chain. Oh, sorry. You cut out for a sec.
Oh, I cut out. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Where did you leave me?
I was just, I think you were saying that, you know, got a year to learn the album.
Yeah, you've got a year to learn the album, which is a lot better than, you know, like a month or something. But how's yeah. it been kind of, you know, obviously it's been so long. I know you've done a few things over the years, a few mm-hmm. reunion shows and stuff like that. But to kind of get everybody back together and chatting again. And obviously you're mm-hmm. all so much more mature now, and you know, like you're your own people. You're not just
yeah.
kids. How has that been just, you know, personally for you?
It's been really sweet. And just, I'm so, so grateful that everybody's down to do it because, you know, Alex Lipshaw, the guitar player, one of the guitar players, and I have worked together through the years and we've stayed super close and stayed in touch. He's producing some of my new stuff, even for mm-hmm. my project. Mm-hmm. Mike Gentile, the other guitar player, he came in for one reunion show that we had in 2019. So it was me, Alex, and Mike, and it was amazing. We had the best time. And then it was, then COVID hit and we were like, we just kind of lost touch. But this is the first time that I've really engaged with the original bass player, Mike Moriarty, and the original drummer, Elliot James, because Elliot left the band pretty early on. And then Jersey, we call him Jersey, left, in like 2010 or something. Right. So I haven't really had a lot of communication with them over the years because when they left, I just still had my head down going forward. Like it was crazy. Our band was just, we were so busy and it was just a lot. And it was like, okay, that sucks. We got to find another player. You know, it was just like, keep your head down, keep it going.
Yep.
And so this was the first time that I really got to, I reached out to them personally and, you know, was like, I'm not going to say yes to this unless you guys can do it. This is, you know, this is too important and too big of a milestone for us as a band for me to just do it with like a backing band and right. That's it, you know?
Right.
And I was so happy that everybody was down. We've been on a text thread since we found out we were playing, and everybody's living all over the country. We've got Elliot in LA and Jersey in Colorado, Mike's in Florida, and Alex and I are here in Nashville. So like getting a rehearsal and all that, we're still working on logistics, but it's been amazing and it's really sweet. Like everybody's got all these different memories that we're all sending in the chat and pictures, and you know, it was a very crazy time for us, especially for me. I was 18 and I was the only one signed in the band, so there was like a dynamic thing that was a little tough to navigate, and I didn't want to be the only one signed, but it was like either that or Columbia would have passed. And I think the guys at the time had a bit of resentment around that, which I totally understood, but I was just like, I don't know what to do here. We have to do this. And so now just like talking and there being no hard feelings or there being no like weirdness, it's been like kind of a weight lifted off that I didn't know was there. So it's really, really cool.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
That's such a great story, and for everything to come, you know, kind of full circle now, and everyone, you know, yeah. You're all in your 30s and everyone's doing well and just happy to do this together. That's a really yeah. beautiful story. I love that so much.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And you mentioned Alex being in Nashville and you working with you. I think I remember reading that he actually produced the re-record of Wasting All These Tears. Is that right?
Yeah. He produced it, mixed it, and he's actually produced a couple more songs that'll be on my record. So he's amazing.
Cool. So yeah, that's crazy too. I did notice that, you know, you called it Cassidy's version, you know, the re-record. That's like a thing that more and more artists are doing. My band has done it a lot, actually. We call them our Redux,
yeah.
our Redux versions. It's great. I mean, it's great to kind of obviously, you know, just give a new interpretation of a song, you know, mm-hmm. and obviously the technology is way better, but also I think the performance is a lot better too.
Than,
you know, on your version from 10 years ago. Obviously there's also a financial industry money reason as well. So talk to me about that, how that all kind of came to be and why you decided that this song could kind of live in a new space, alongside some of your newer stuff, which I do want to talk to you about too in a minute.
Cool. Yeah. I, I definitely saw all of the benefits of like financially, but also just taking a song that will be in my set, my live set forever, and taking it and making it work with everything else. I was feeling like, man, I love playing this song, but it just doesn't fit with everything else. And how can I make it fit? Okay, I'll change it live and I'll make it more rock. But like, why don't I just re-record it? And then I own the master, and then it's right. Just all of it kind of made sense. It's also the 10th year that it's been out, so that felt like a nice way to kind of commemorate that. And I called it Cassidy's version because it felt a bit more sentimental than just like the rock version.
Right.
That song has changed my life. It's opened so many doors for me, and it was platinum selling and just like probably still my highest streamed song. So I just feel like it's changed my life in so many ways that I wanted to, you know, make it like I'm coming into my own. It's Cassidy's version. And, yeah, I love playing it live. Like it's, I feel like it sounds the way it should have sounded from the start, but, you know, it's a song that I heard when I first got to town. I didn't write it. It's like a very, it was like my first song that I recorded that I didn't write. So it was very weird to me. Mm-hmm. And I did take some liberties, but I didn't really like go too crazy with it. And this time, having done a bunch of outside songs over the years, I was just like, okay, I'm going to really play with this. And Alex and I added a halftime to it. And I just changed some of the vocal trills and stuff. So, yeah, it felt like it was time for that song to get a little bit of a revamp, and I love playing it live. So it's very fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you mentioned a new album. I don't have information. Is the new album coming? Is there do you have a release date? I don't know.
No, you are not ill prepared. Don't worry.
I figured there's one coming and you haven't announced it yet.
Yeah, I haven't announced it yet. It's like getting mastered right now. So it's pretty much done. Yeah, I just wanted to take this year to just like transition back into the space and give people some singles and just really like set down the groundwork for, you know, giving people a whole album. I didn't want it to just like come and go, you know? But yeah, the album, I'm going to probably have to scale it back, 'cause I think I have 14 songs on it right now. So I have to, maybe I'll release it that way, but
right.
I'm thinking I probably should like take a couple and put them in my back pocket. And then there's some cool collaborations on it that I'm going to wait to announce just in case things don't work out, you
sure.
know, the drill. And yeah, it's really in the pop punk space. Nothing is country about it. That's for sure.
Okay.
I did a lot of it with Dan Swank here in Nashville, who plays for All Time Low. And, he's an amazing, amazing producer and player, and just been writing with people like Aaron Gillespie from Under Oath.
Mm-hmm.
And, just like, it's a full on pop punk record. So I'm really excited that people are going to get to hear like the full picture of it.
Totally. Well, two of the songs released from it so far as of our record date, I'm sure there's more coming. People That I Love, Leave, and Almost There, both awesome. And yeah, nothing
Thank
country
you.
At all about them. Now, when you,
yeah.
my first question is when you step into this, you know, and you're like, okay, I'm still the same person singing, but like, do you kind of have two different voices? Like you're like your country voice and your pop punk
yeah.
voice, like do they overlap? Like, does it just kind of naturally come out of you? How does that work?
It is weird. I feel like I tend to like, if it's, it depends on the production and sonically where things are. I know when I write a country song for pitching to other artists and stuff, I'm going to sing it differently than, you know, my own stuff, which is now more rock. But I grew up with so many different influences, and I'm grateful that my voice coach really stretched my limits and would have me cover like at one time I would be covering like an Avril Lavigne song, and then another time I'd be covering a Trisha Yearwood song. And she would just really like play with my voice and have me try different things. But as an adult, now having all those years of like changing and playing with the genre bending stuff, I'm like, I know, I can tell that I sometimes will kind of put on a different voice depending on what the situation is. And I think it's just because I just like to do that. I think it's fun. I think I am me. I have my tone, but you know, at the end of the day, it's not hard to like throw on a tiny bit of a twang when you're writing a song for country artists that you want to cut your song, you know? So, but yeah, it's been really fun to go back and kind of like give myself permission to sing with more of that pop punk feel. 'Cause before I felt like I was really making sure to hold that back, because I didn't want people to think that I was just using country music to get to the next step. Because at the time when I first came to Nashville, it was like a lot of people were crossing over, right, and a lot of country fans didn't like that. And so I was always very aware of that and just didn't want people to think that I was trying to just use it as a stepping stool. So yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a long answer.
No,
it's an easy question.
No, it's not an easy question. And I appreciate the long response. So I guess when you start to play shows and you know you go on the big tour for this album and everything, and you're playing a bunch of these songs, I mean, are you still going to be putting like some of your country songs in the set list? Are you going to find different ways to do them? Like, how is that? How are you going to kind of coexist these two, you know, your entire career, I guess, into, you know, like if I wanted to go see you play, you know, in New York City or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am putting some of the country stuff in there. I tend to just put a few that I know people know and will want to hear. I generally don't, like with my older stuff, go into the like 10th or 11th tracks of my country record. So I like wasting all these tears. Obviously I'm doing, you know, the rock version of that.
Right.
There's a couple of other ones that were on a record in 2019. That was when I started to kind of like go a little bit more pop with the country stuff. Those we rock up live, I just tell the band to have fun with it and do more intense fills for the drummer and have the guys on guitar really just open up and make sure that it's a dirty tone and yeah. the bass player, you know, not too many of the like the super finger picky things that like have a lot of space in between.
Bass player a pick. He's gotta play with a pick. There you go. Yeah.
Yes.
Put a little overdrive on the amp. Yeah. There you go.
Oh yes. And adding adding some halftime really, really does the trick, especially on the outro of songs.
Yeah.
But then like my record from 2021, I think it came out called Thrive. That one was already like a pop punk country record. So live, you know, going back to like the way I sing things, I tend to just like really hone in on the pop punk phrasing and do all of that. And then with the music side of things on that record, I really didn't have any sort of country elements sonically. It was more so the like way I was singing the songs. But even just like the lyrics and everything are pretty, they're like edgy. I wouldn't say that they're along the lines of what I'm doing now in the rock space, but like they're a bit more edgy than my other country stuff. So I actually don't have to do too much to make things work with the new stuff.
No,
thankfully.
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's like that crazy anyway. I mean, people forget Metallica dabbled in country for a while too. You know what I mean? There's like full blown country songs on the Load and Reload albums. So, you know,
God,
it's not
that.
Everyone forgot, but yeah, it's it's not that crazy. So I think you're going to do just fine. So Hey Mundy back at When We Were Young 2024, but you made some appearances this year, quite a few, right? You were out with Simple Plan. You did some stuff with Yellow Card and Michelle Branch as well. How did that feel to get up there kind of in front of your old people, you know, and with some, some big bands? That must've been awesome.
It was awesome. I mean, it was surreal because I haven't been to that festival even. So I didn't know how massive it was. Like yeah. I going up and singing with Yellow Card and looking out at just, I couldn't see the end of the crowd. That was the craziest thing. And to get a reaction and get, and people even know who I am. It's like, I just felt, Hey Monday never got to that point where we were playing those kinds of stages at those kinds of festivals. Like we right. opened for some amazing bands. We were always the opener, but our headliners were like little, you know, tiny clubs. So we never got to that point. And that was just so crazy to me. I was going to be out there anyway, playing a charity event, that Kevin Lineman, the, you know who mm-hmm. he is, but
Warped
just
Tour,
for
yes.
the listeners,
the Warped Tour guy,
Warped
yes.
Tour founder, he was putting on a charity event and was like, you know, we'll fly you out, we'll put you up, and then you're there for when we're young. So if anything else comes up, you're taken care of. And I was like, thank you so much, you're amazing. And so I just hit up some friends that I knew were playing. So I texted Ryan Key from Yellow Card and Seb from Simple Plan and was like, yep. I'll be there. Like, I'm going to the festival. So if you want me to pop up or anything like that, I've done it with them in the past. So I was like, you know, I'm there. And they both said yes, which I didn't expect. So I was like, cool. Hope you're not playing at the same time. And then the second day, Michelle, I had hung out with her a little bit here in Nashville when she played her show here before the festival. She texted me and was like, do you want to sing with me today? I was like, you know, she's a huge influence for me. And yeah. She had me sing a song I covered on The Voice, actually, Are You Happy Now? So it was awesome. A crazy, crazy weekend. I got to see so many old friends. I don't know. I'm hoping maybe that helped my chances of getting Hey Monday on the festival. We were passed on, honestly. So I at that point was just like, well, I'm going to make them pay attention. I'm going to make them see me. And I don't know. I think it might have helped, along with my agents pushing hard to get us on. But I think that was like a really awesome, productive weekend for me to just like be seen and get up there and let people know I'm still doing music.
Be seen and be seen. Yes.
Yeah.
It works out. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I love that. And yeah, we're playing next year as well. So we will see you there. It's gonna be it's gonna be a big party. I'm really excited about that. Awesome. Yes. Well, Cassidy, thank you so much for doing this. What else to tell the people before I let you go?
I mean, just that I appreciate being welcomed back into the genre. You know, I mean, I know I have a lot of work to do still, and people are still kind of realizing that I'm back, but I'm really enjoying the process, and I appreciate people like you who are, you know, just so steeped and so such a huge part of, like, you know, shaping the genre that are bringing me on their podcast.
Hell yeah,
and having me up on stage. Like, I just, that all of that is just really touching and validating. And I appreciate the support from your end and just from the fans, and more music to come. That is for sure.
More to come. I'm excited to hear the rest, but I'm going to leave the people with this song, People That I Love Leave, on Lead Singer Syndrome. It's a good one. Thank you, Cassidy.
Thank you so much. I don't want to say I love you, because people that I love leave. That's all that I've ever seen. As soon as I hold on, that's when it all goes wrong, because I came up different things.
So there it is with Cassidy and her new song, People That I Love Leave. This comes from the forthcoming album, yet to be announced, but you heard it here. There is an album coming, going to feature this track, Almost There, probably her re-record of Wasting All These Tears. We don't know yet. But she said 14 tracks getting mastered. So if it's mastered, it's got to be coming soon. So that's very, very exciting stuff. I was super excited to have Cassidy Pope finally on the show after so many years of talking about it. And now it couldn't have been a better time with them playing When We Were Young, this new record. And it was really, really interesting to hear all about the country years and coming back to pop punk and everything. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I think I need to leave y'all with a Hey Monday song, right? I think so. I'm going to do it. How You Love Me Now. Let's do that one. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. And don't forget, we got like 300 and something more episodes to go back and listen to. So yeah, hit that follow button, hit the subscribe button, and we'll see you soon. Here's Hey Monday on Lead Singer Syndrome.
Talking to her, don't mess with me. It's finally clear you're blurring the lines. Are you disturbed? Well, now you care. Why do you race through my red lights? Can't understand. I'll slow it down for you. Tell me, how can you sleep? How can you breathe? Baby, tell me. Save it for her.